Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. This week, we spoke with a melanoma survivor, Trina, who joined the With Love Me campaign as part of Merck's Your Cancer Game Plan, designed to offer insights from patients and caregivers about the emotional, health, and communication challenges of living with cancer. Trina's journey began back in the early 90s and has left her today with a new appreciation for every single day. So to start, can you just tell us a little bit about your cancer journey with melanoma?
Sure. Actually, it started in the early 90s. I had a darkened area under my big toenail, and I saw a dermatologist about it, and he said not to worry. But the darkness continued to grow until my nail was completely dark, and I had it biopsied in 2003, came out negative. I had it biopsied again in 2006. Came out negative. I had lost a toenail, but I was happy that I was told it was nothing serious, or so I thought. But in 2013, I was getting ready to go on a trip, and I saw what I thought was a blister just on the side of the same toe next to that toenail. I insisted on having it biopsied when I came back from the trip. It didn't stop me from the trip, but when I got back from the trip, I found out that it was a melanoma that went pretty deep into my toe. So 1 week later, to my horror, I had my big toe amputated, and I was told that the margins were clear, that my lymph nodes were clear, and I thought I was just done with melanoma, and it never occurred to me that I would see it again. But 2.5 years later, my trainer at the gym kept telling me that I seemed to be more out of breath than usual. I really questioned her because at the time I was 68 and she had me running up steps, and I'm thinking it's just age. But she kept insisting that I talk to my doctor about it, and I finally did. And he ordered a chest x-ray and then subsequently a CT and then finally a lung biopsy. And there it was. I was diagnosed with metastatic melanoma. I began treatment, and thankfully I'm here completely in total remission. So that is the beginning and hopefully the end.
Great. We're glad to hear that you're in remission. So going back to your initial diagnosis, what ran through your mind when you heard the words, you have cancer?
I was horrified. I mean, first of all, with the first diagnosis that involved my toe amputation, of course, I never envisioned that I would ever be losing my big toe to cancer. But after it was done, I mean, I thought that it was finished. So when I got the news about the metastatic melanoma, I was horrified. I was scared, and I guess that settled into sadness. And quite honestly, it went through my head that I might be dead in less than a year. I remember looking around my condo and thinking, what was all of this for? Why had I worked 45 years to get to a place where I could retire and travel and do the things that I wanted to do, and now it was all for just naught? But I was in a pretty crazy place that night. Luckily, my brother does live here in the same state with me, and he came over, immediately that night, and my boyfriend drove 2 hours from Pennsylvania to stay with me. And I don't know, the next morning I just got up, I got dressed, I went to the gym, and I decided to just live and fight it.
And so, talking about the campaign with Love Me, can you just tell us a little bit more about the campaign and why you think that initiatives like this are so important?
Well, my understanding is that the With Love Me campaign was started by Merck to promote awareness about cancer and specifically what patients and caregivers have gone through with their journeys through this disease. The campaign utilizes letters that are actually written by real patients like me and caregivers, and the letters touch upon what these people would say when they are looking back on their circumstances. The letters are letters of encouragement in the sense that they share what people have gone through and survived, but they also are letters to let people know what they're feeling and experiencing is not unique to them. During my journey, I spoke to several survivors that really helped me, and it helped me to keep a positive attitude. So I was anxious to participate in, you know, this campaign because I think it inspires people to overcome their challenges, and I think that's just so important in the healing process. At least it was in mine.
So in your letter, you also mentioned asking for notepads. So we often talk to our patient audience about either recording their sessions with their doctors or writing everything down and bringing it to them with appointments. Why are things like this important, and why was it important for you to mention in your letter?
Personally, when I'm confronted with bad news or something negative, I tend to just react and not listen to details. I block it out. I know this about myself, and I think it's probably normal for other people to do the same thing. So it may have been my experiences in corporate life that made me initially ask for the paper, or it may have been that I live alone and, you know, I have to make decisions for myself, but for whatever reason, thankfully, I just asked for the paper and I started writing. After that, it really became part of a hardback book that I still have. I knew that I wasn't really absorbing anything when the doctor was talking to me. It was like I was reading a newspaper and, you know, reading the headline of metastatic melanoma, and I didn't want to read the article. I mean, it was just surreal, but, you know, I heard the doctor talking about different treatments, and I just started writing things down, asking for pros and cons, but I still didn't absorb it that day, and I had to go back to my notes later to try to figure out what I was going to do from, you know, what he had told me. I really wasn't aware that he had asked me to make any decisions even. But the notes made me ask more questions, and they were very helpful in guiding me to, treatment that I was comfortable with. And I don't think my experience is different from other people, but I'm really glad that I have kept a journal.
Great. And so you also mentioned staying focused and becoming your own advocate. Can you maybe expand upon this a little bit more?
I think it's important to stand up for yourself and make sure that you are communicating to your healthcare team and that you are taken seriously. So I would recommend, you know, becoming your own advocate and maintaining a positive attitude while you're communicating with your healthcare team. As I mentioned, keeping a journal would definitely help you to stay organized and be able to relate information to your doctor. By the way, my journal did not read like a diary. It was just a collection of facts about what was going on with my body, as well as what was in my head, some thoughts, some feelings. They can all be interrelated. But, you know, this is a whole new area that you never experienced before, and you don't know what's good for your healthcare team to know. But you're the best one to speak up and let them decide what's going on. I think it's also important to accept their support and guidance. But, you know your body. You know what's best for yourself. You know your habits, your preferences, your fears. You just know yourself best.
And so what are you hoping that patients and their loved ones take away from your letter?
When I initially wrote the letter, I was just hoping that I would be able to touch a few lives to give encouragement to people living with a cancer diagnosis. And I still think that. But I have to mention that since I wrote the letter and it's been published, I've received just overwhelming support from friends and people I've not heard from in years who live across the country. And not, necessarily close friends, people that I've met along the way. Like, one person told me that they had melanoma inside of their mouth and had not shared it with anyone, but was going to speak about it now because they felt encouraged by my letter. Several male friends admitted that, they had prostate cancer and they hadn't spoken about it. And just yesterday, I got a call from a friend in Florida that I hadn't heard from in years who shared that her husband had lymphoma, but he had listened to my letter and was so uplifted by my message that she had to pick up the phone and call me. I mean, it just really warms my heart. But I wanted, in writing the letter, to relay a message to continue to go on living and doing most of the things that you always did. If you broke an arm and you had to seek treatment, you'd go to the doctor. He'd probably put a cast on it, but it wouldn't keep you from enjoying life and doing most of the things that you wanted to do. So I feel the same way about cancer. I mean, it's just the way that Trina feels. It's certainly a bump in the road to go through treatment. It does change your life, but I think it's important to keep your eye on the prize, and for me, the prize is life. So everyone takes away what they need, from what they read, but hopefully I've been able to encourage others to overcome their challenges.
Great. And so, looking back on your experience, what would you say is one thing that you wish you knew back then when you first were diagnosed that you do know now?
Well, it's hard to say one thing, but I wish that I had known then what cancer was going to do for me. I had a great life with some fantastic experiences, and it was interrupted by a diagnosis, but it did do something for me, and I say for me instead of to me, because what cancer has done for me is to make me appreciate every single day of my life in a much deeper way. Things are not important. Negative people don't have a place in my life, and not everyone is given a chance to grow old. So, I feel really blessed, and because of the angels that I feel are all around me on my shoulders, I want to always recognize opportunities to educate people. So I am always sending out emails, texting, putting notices on Facebook about the importance of, being seen regularly, and particularly to educate African Americans about melanoma, since they tend to get melanoma under nails, palms of the hand, soles of the feet, and inside the mouth. And people have really thanked me for that. And I just enjoy it. But cancer has presented an obstacle that has helped me, I think, to fully reach my potential. I don't know whether that makes sense to you.
Totally get it. So, lastly, so this is a pretty broad question as well, but what would you say is your biggest piece of advice for others who are facing a cancer diagnosis?
You know, again, it's very difficult to say that I have one piece of advice. I mean, I think I'd say that, you know, let your feelings flow. It's okay to get angry. It's okay to cry and to ask questions. But in the end, live your life as best you can and continue to do the things that make you happy, even if you have to modify them just a tad. Along with that, accept support. Support may come in the form of people or things that you didn't pay attention to before. It might be a neighbor that, you know, you passed every day and you never knew their name, and you know, they offered help to take you somewhere or to bring you food or to, I don't know, just to be support, maybe just to talk to you. But maybe the one piece is just choose to be grateful, and maybe you'll discover a whole new meaning to life. I know I did. I know I'm better because of this obstacle I've overcome, and I think everything in my life has probably prepared me for this, but we should all utilize our obstacles to reach a greater potential.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer Podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.